That's your inheritance. Come get that. Come get what was yours before the foundation of the world. You lost it in Adam, and baby, it's your, I love you in that world so much, that original rhema that I sent, boy, the original Adam. See, the Adam that you hear in the garden, that ain't the original Adam. That's the first print that come from the original. The plate, that's Christ. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. The first print from the plate, that's Adam. I told you this once before. Listen, if I got, before I go, man, and I want some business card, the first they told me one time, man, 1,000 business cards, $19.99. I said, that's a good price. So I went there looking to pay, man, $19.99 for 1,000 business cards. And then when they added up my bill, they told me, man, it was $45, the $49.99. I said, wait a minute. I thought the sign said 1,000 business cards, $19.99. He said, yes, the 1,000 business card is $19.99. But it costs $24.99 to make the plate. What's that, boy? So that we could print all your 100 copies, your 1,000 business card. I got to set up a plate first. And then I can print your 1,000 business card. The 1,000 business card that I'm going to print, that's $19.99. But that plate that I set up to do that with, that's $24.99. And, well, when they came with my card, man, everything else, it was almost $50. So listen, man, now watch this. When I got rid of all those 1,000 business cards, and I went back to the card place and say, hey, I need another 1,000 business cards, it just cost me $19.99. Because even though I had dispensed of all the other ones, the original ones, then, man, the plate was still there, boy. Hallelujah. And all I had to do, boy, is go back, man, and they could print, man, from the plate that's already there. That's what Jesus is. He's the plate. Who Adam is, he's the first print. Listen, in that 1,000 business card, they used to have a little slot on the outside of the box. And on the outside of the box, that little slot, it got a card in it. So when they bought me the box, I didn't even have to open up the box to see, man, what was on the inside of it. It was on the front of the box in a little slot. The first print that came from the plate. And on the inside of that box was 999 more cards that looked just like that first print that was in front of the box, that got its origin from the original, the plate. So when the first print says, if you mess up all of the cars and they fall in water, or you spill some paint on them and everything else in the whole box and everything else, man, they get damaged and seemingly no more suitable for use. And all you gotta do is go back to the print company, tell them, man, you want 1,000 more cards, and they'll print you 1,000 more. Why? Because they got to. So you think God's getting upset and all disappointed, man, if something happened, man, to the first print? And something did happen to the first print. You know what? Adam failed. Adam missed the mark. Adam messed up everything. And when Adam messed up everything, the first print, then all the other prints that came after him was messed up too. That's why you and I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But boy, guess what? God ain't worried. What? God still got the plate. Who is the plate? That's Jesus. Boy, so he sent the plate over 2,000 years ago, the original, the plate, to come down here, man, and clean up, boy, the first print, man, and everything that come after the first print, not only Adam, but all of us too. So that, boy, we can begin to see, because we start looking like, man, the messed up Adam. That's what it meant when we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were looking like the messed up Adam. That was totally different, man, from what his original state was. His original state was just like the plate. But by the time you and I came out, man, we was all the way around different, a different image, a different mindset, a different way of thinking, a different way of living. That was totally different than the plate. But boy, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made in the likeness of sinful man, that's Jesus, yet without sin, that's Christ on the inside of him, to show you and I, boy, our true nature, our true character, what we really supposed to look like, how we really supposed to walk, how we really supposed to talk, how we really supposed to think about circumstance situations. And then, boy, he displayed it on the earth, man. He walked this earth, man, and we say, yeah, that was Jesus, man, and Jesus opened blind eyes. And Jesus, listen, that wasn't just physically, but I'm talking about the way he was ruling and reigning in life. Oh, not over people, watch this here, but over every circumstance and situation and symptom that confronted him. Let me tell you something. He got a whole bunch of people, man, up in Egypt, I mean, back then that day, that were sick and had leprosy and everything else that didn't ever get no healing. But all those that came to him, baby, he healed them all. Now, if you don't go to him, that's a different thing. If you hear the good news and then you reject it, well, that's on you, you know. But all those that came to him, all those who responded to, man, what he was saying and what he was doing and everything else, they say, yes, Lord, to your will, thy will, already done, so let it be in my life like it's already done. Although the Bible says he healed them all, even if it was in death. Let me tell you something, that's your greatest healing. You might not even know about it, but you think death is a termination of life when death is a transition of life. Because what I'm really talking about and the fullness of it, man, that I'm talking about, that really what belonged to you, flesh and blood can't inherit that, baby. You got to get another body to inherit all the fullness of that, man. Hallelujah. You got to get a heavenly body, one that ain't going to never get sick, one that ain't going to never decay, one that ain't no bullets can penetrate or nothing, neither, nothing, where no sin can even penetrate, man. No sickness can penetrate, glory to God. No sadness, no heartache, no pain can even penetrate it. It's already done, boy, but it's in the process, man. Of becoming what it already is, a finished work. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And that's the message that Jesus Christ come preaching, man, to all mankind. Repent. What you mean repent, man? It don't mean go down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, and please forgive me all my sins, man, and Lord, I ain't gonna do it no more. How many times we done did that, man, and then come right back and done the same thing, man, over and over and over and over again? When repenting is different, that's included in it. But you ain't got the first part right yet. That's why the second part ain't working for you. What's the first part of repenting? The first thing you got to do, man, is change the way you're thinking. Repent comes from two words. Pent is pinnacle, top, just like the penthouse on a hotel at the top of the. That's the top. Re is a prefix that changes the meaning to it. So you say repent. I mean, at one time in Adam, before he got put out of the Garden of Eden, when he was looking just like the first prince, then you were living on top of the world. The world wasn't reigning over us. We were living on top of the world, ruling and reigning over all our circumstances and situations when Adam was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. And all of it was in Adam. That was the top way of living. So he say, repent. What you mean, man? Re is a prefix, mean to return or go back, you know. He say, repent. That means come back to the top. Come back to the top way of thinking. Come back to the top way of walking. Only way you can come back to the top way of walking and living and everything else, you got to first come back to the top way of thinking. You got to change your thinking first. So you've been trained up in conditions and how to operate according to this old natural world that you were brought up in, where, boy, you are limited, man, by circumstance, situation, and symptom, man. And and because of that, boy, your circumstance, situation, and symptom dictate to us. All the devil got to do is dangle a circumstance or a situation or a symptom, boy, in our hearts and minds, man, and he make us act however he want to. You get a pain across your chest, especially if it's a heart pain, man, you first thing come is fear. Oh, Lord, heart attack. When the first thing ought to rise up on the inside of us, man, if we would repent, would change the way we would think, and when that circumstance, situation, or symptom arise, boy, when it come in, instead of fear coming in and say, oh, Lord, heart attack, boy, something else will rise up on the inside of you and say, boy, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ain't no weapon formed against me can stand and prosper. And, boy, you know what? That's how you think. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So in order to get this kingdom to work for you, Jesus said the first thing you got to be willing to do, man, is change your whole way of thinking. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing for him to get most people to do, because he give you free will. He don't force nothing on you. He said you got to be willing. He said, oh, who are willing and obedient, they'll eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient to what, Arthur? To the instructions, man, of the Most High God. that he give us in Jesus Christ. I told you in time past, he spoke to us through the prophets. And the prophet man ministered to us all the messages that you're hearing, even today, in our pulpits and everything else. But boy, that's a going on in God, man. We didn't got preoccupied with the means, man. At the expense of forfeiting the end. What's the end? I told you my brother told me this morning, man. Thank you, man, for sharing that with me. He told me this morning, say, boy, I'm talking about, boy, if we were talking, and I said, boy, it's God, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We was quoting that then, building one another up. He said, no, boy, let me tell you something. We ought to stop right there. Because first he said something, I couldn't quite grasp what he was saying. And then he just stopped right there and say, listen, nothing else to it. He said, thy will. And we was praying, that's what it was, at the end of our conversation. And we got to that part, boy. He said, when we say, thy will, he just opened my eyes and said, boy, when that part that we say, be done, listen, you just spoke that. And if you spoke that, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Watch this here. In earth, watch what it say. The original text, it say, thy will be done in earth. Not on earth first, in earth. What's in earth? He come down, I told you, form your body from the dust of the ground. And breathed on the inside of you the breath of life. And boy, you became a living soul. Living in earth, a physical body. So he say, what? Thou will be done in you. In you, in your heart, in your thinking, in your soul, in your mind, everything else. And boy, it'll be manifested on the earth. Boy, let me tell you something. Boy, God is doing something in our generation, our day and time. Well, boy, I'm talking about, man, that what the devil had tried to do. What he tried to do? He tried to bury the gospel of the kingdom in the graveyard of religion. I pray that God would give you a revelation to that. I'm going to say it one more time. The devil was pretty, man, successful, and for the last probably 1,800 years. Not the gospel of Jesus. We got that down pat, baby, and thank God for that, boy. I told you that'll get us out of Egypt. That'll get us saved. But if you don't go past that, man, then you'll just be wandering around in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel were. When all the time they were brought out of Egypt, they were saved, not to wander around and die in the wilderness, but to go across the Jordan River into their inheritance. Back then, they called the promised land. That was in the natural. Right here in the day and time after Jesus Christ come, know what it's called? It's the promised land, but it ain't the promised land that you know of in the natural like they were talking about. It's all of the kingdom of heaven. That belonged to you. That's your promised land. That's the promised land that he's talking about. When David say in the secret place of the Most High God, know what he's talking about, boy? That's it. That's the secret place of the Most High God. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. When Noah them got into that ark and it protected them and saved them, man, from the flood. You're talking about a pandemic that's killing millions. Let me tell you something. Noah them got into an ark. And boy, I'm talking about all everybody around them died, man. But not Noah, not his family. But he was in an ark. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Abraham called it the promised land. Even though he died and not yet seen, the Bible say he was fully persuaded that what God had promised him, it was a done deal. Even though he didn't see it. Like my brother say, boy, if God will, that's it. He died not even having yet received the promise, but he was fully persuaded that it's God's will, and that's the bottom line. What's God's will, man? That I dwell, man, and I go into that promised land. Not only me, but all my descendants, all my children, all those who are after me. But we're going to wander around in Egypt, man, and we're going to wander around in the wilderness and everything else, and we're going to go through slavery, we're going to go through some trials and tribulation, but boy, one day God going to send a deliverer, and he's going to redeem our life from that slavery and from that destruction, and he's going to bring us out of Egypt. Just like Moses did, man, the children of Israel, and brought them out of Egypt, man, destroyed Pharaoh's and his army on the way out, and came out with all the gold and all the treasures and all the silver. Boy, you ain't got to take no thought, man, for what you, we pray, but we pray the wrong way. We pray, the Bible say, like pagans. We pray for houses and land and cars and this and everything else. Jesus say, boy, your father know that you have need of that. The pagans pray after that. If you understood that scripture, man, it'll destroy your prayer list. He said, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you're praying and asking God for and everything else, that's in your inheritance. That belong to you. If you seek first the kingdom of God, what God is doing, not what my denomination doing, not what my pastor doing, not what my church doing, but seek first, man, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his system and his pattern of operation and what he doing, man, and you'll discover something, boy, that what he doing, man, is reestablishing the kingdom of heaven back on the earth. Adam called it in his day and time the Garden of Eden. After that, man, they fell. Again, Noah called it, man, the Ark of God, the big ship. After Noah came, man, and everything else, man, then Moses, man, saw it as, oh, Lord. Abraham saw it as a promised land. Moses gave the laws to it. And Moses' generation, when he came out, and through David, he called it, boy, Lord. The secret place of the Most High God. You know what the prophets called it, man? When they would show up and the Spirit of the Lord would show up and come upon him, boy, and minister to his people. You know what the first thing, man, one of the first things God would always say? Fear not, because I'm with you. You know what the children used to call it, boy? The presence of the Lord. You know what Jesus Christ come calling it? The kingdom of heaven. And you know what the good news, the gospel about that kingdom of heaven and all those things, the Garden of Eden, the protection of God in the ark, the promised land, man, that he gave to Abraham, that secret place of the Most High God, and that secret place, man, they would get in that secret place, man, kill lions, bears, Goliaths, and everything else, man. And when he became king, man, let me tell you something, in that secret place, man, every battle that he fought, he won. I tell you, what, no more enemy to conquer. And boy, they was at peace then. That's why he say, boy, you're going to set up a kingdom, man, after David's kingdom, man. Because all the kingdoms, that was the greatest one of them all. Listen, David started off with the bear and the lion, and from Goliath to every obstacle that confronted him, man, every enemy. Tell boy, that was peace in Jerusalem. I know everybody built the city. Jerusalem, the city of peace. No more enemies to conquer. Jesus said, boy, he's going to sit on the throne of David. Well, boy, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Oh, God. And so that way, let you know something, boy, that every battle that you might encounter upon this earth, he wants you to know that you know that you know that just like Jesus won every battle, man, on this earth, and just like David, man, conquered all of, and this, and David had some faults and mistakes, but boy, when the enemy came up against him and, man, all the people of God, David said, listen here, boy, these my sheep. I'm the king over there. These are my sheep. Just like Jesus said, all these are my sheep. And it's the Lord our shepherd, baby. You don't have to worry about nothing. You ought to not worry about nothing. If you really understood that, you say the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, boy. Listen, you take it and say it in the wrong way. You ought to say it this way, boy, the Lord is my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd, man, I ain't got to worry about nothing. I ain't got to worry about no bears, no lions, no Goliaths, no giants, no adverse circumstances, no sickness, no disease, no none of that. The Lord is my shepherd. And David was a representative of the Lord, boy. The bear come against them sheep, man, David slew the bear. The lion came against them sheep, boy, David slew the lion. Goliath came against them sheep. I ain't talking about them sheep that was out there. I'm talking about the sheep of God, the people of God. David responded with this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, man, that don't even have a relationship and a covenant with God, defying the armies of God? And y'all sit back here in a foxhole, man, and won't none of y'all go out to fight him? Man, what's wrong with y'all? He started talking to his brothers. What's going on, man? Even Saul, man, and Saul tried to give him his armor. No, man, this... I come in the name of the Lord. David looked at that uncircumcised Philistine and say, man, let me tell you something. You come after me with a spear and a sword, but I'm coming after you in the name of the Lord. And boy, I'm talking about, man, watch this here. This is different. David attacked Goliath. I'm going to say that again because you missed it. David attacked Goliath. I'm talking about, man, went running toward him. And let me tell you something, before he did go live, could even strike any, or even make an effort to strike any kind of blow, he was knocked down to the ground. I don't know whether he was dead then when that rock hit him, boy, but it sure knocked him out. But I tell you what, boy, David come, took his sword, Goliath's sword, and cut his head off. He was dead then. See, right now, boy, we get up and we take the wood and we knock him down. But, baby, you don't know how to use that two-edged sword and cut his head off, then he can get back up. And then you got to knock him down again. That dead man, he get back up. All we've been doing is knocking him out. Because we've been taking the word of God, the two-edged sword, the word, the little rock. We've been using the rock. And we've been knocking him down. Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, you a little rock. But upon this rock, what? This boulder, what? Lord, I'm going to build my church. What? Not to just knock him down with little scriptures and quote scriptures and make him back up, but to take them scriptures that they quote, man, and turn it from a rock to a two-edged sword and cut the devil's head off. What's his head? His authority, his rule, his reign over all our lives. God ain't going to do that. We got to do that. I told you, boy, his will and it's done. But the only way he's going to get it done is through his church, through us. And that's a serious indictment. I'm going to say this. I don't care whether you receive it or not. That's a serious indictment, man, of us as leaders in the church. We've been trying to maintain followers, man, and members instead of transforming them followers, man, into leaders and them leaders into agents of change that can go out into the environment, man, and impact and change the world. And to change them, man, from followers, man, to leaders, and from leaders to agents of change, and changing them, man, changing that thing from just members of a church. Listen, members of a church ain't got no rights. And you can't go up, man, to the United States government, man, and say, or to any place where you're trying to get aid and support to from this government, and say, listen, I'm a member of Kingdom Life Fellowship, and my pastor is Brother Arthur, man, that's your credential. That ain't gonna get you nowhere. Why? Because you're a member of the church. You can't go to God, man. In other words, you can't go to God and say, hey, Lord, listen, yeah, I'm a member of Kingdom Life Fellowship, me and this and that and everything, and who my pastor is and everything else, and I make a demand on your right. But if you go into that place, man, to make a petition of God and say, listen, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen. A citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm not just a member of a church. I'm a citizen. I told you, members don't have no rights. But citizens, baby, in that kingdom, you got a right to everything that belongs to you as a citizen. That's why you've been going without, because you've just been a member of a church instead of a citizen of a kingdom. You come a member of the church, man, you hear the good word, the good message, and everything else, and it convicts you. And then, man, you say, hey, listen, I want to join the church, and I want to become a member of this church. So they call it the right hand of fellowship. So they bring the little chair out, and they bring you up, man, and then you shake the preacher's hand, and then they write your name on the church roll, and you become a member of that church and a disciple under that ministry. Listen, that's religion. In the kingdom, hallelujah, glory to God. You hear the gospel of the kingdom, and, baby, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be in this kingdom. I want to be a citizen of this kingdom, Lord. I want to be a part of this kingdom, Lord. And I'm talking about, boy, he opened the door and he let you in. I'm talking about the doors to the church is open. I'm talking about the doors to the kingdom is open. And when you come to there up there and say, Lord, I want in your kingdom, then that door opens automatically. And you know what you do? Instead of shaking the preacher's hand, you shake the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In other words, you come into a personal encounter with the Most High God. Just like you come into a personal encounter when you shake the preacher's hand, encounter with the ministers and the ministry and the church, baby, you come into a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his ministry and his church. Let me tell you something about his church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Who is this church, man? He said, Peter, who man say that I am? Some say you joined the Baptist. Some say you're this prophet. Some say you're that prophet. Some say all of my prophets. He said, who you say I am? Boy, listen here. Peter had a revelation that he didn't learn in seminary or cemetery, however you want to call it. He came with a message, man. He said, listen, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, he didn't say you Jesus Christ. He didn't say you Christ Jesus. He said, thou art the Christ. You know what the word Christ means? Reigning King. Reigning King. That's what Christ is. That's a title, but it's a title of what? A reigning king. What's a king is, man? That's a ruler over a domain, over a territory. Boy, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't say you this and that and the Jesus, Mary, boy, and you a good member of the church. He said, no, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon that revelation of who I really am, a reigning king, I'm going to build my church. You know what my church is going to be? Reigning kings, too. That's why the Bible called him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who's the kings that he's the king of? That's you and I. Who's the lords that he's the lord of? That's you and I. What's the problem, Arthur? You don't know how to reign in life. You don't know how to own, man, all of your inheritance and everything. How to lord over it, man. How come you don't know that, Arthur? I told you it's a serious indictment, man, against us as the leaders in the church. We've been preoccupied with the means. Preaching them the good news about Jesus, and they just kept got them saved, and they just wandering around in the earth. But they don't know about the promised land. They don't know, man. They ain't been preached the promised land. They ain't been preached the good news about the promised land. Yes, they got some giants, and yet the enemy gonna try to stop you and keep you. You've been doing it for the last 1,800 years, man. Stop you from entering into, man, all your blessings. Still trying to get it. The thing that most Christians doing, man, are to get them to heaven. Man, they already don't know, man, that man, God loved you so much he brought heaven to you. He brought the Garden of Eden back to you. He brought the presence of the Lord back to you. He brought the ark, man, of safety that he had Noah them in back to you. He brought the promised land back to you. He brought the secret place of the Most High God back to you. He brought Eden back to us. And then he make this statement to all of us. All of us in our churches, our denomination, everything else, that's a good thing. But all of you, Baptists, Methodists, Church of God in Christ, all my people who are blessed of the Father, come. Bring all of that way, Arthur, into the secret place of the Most High God, into that place, into what? What's that, Arthur? Back into Eden, back to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of God? What God is doing. Jesus said it this way, boy, well, how you find out what God is doing? He said, all you who are heavy laden, come to me and learn of me. See what I say, man. Don't just stop it, man, what I did and everything else, but see what I say. See what I said. Don't just stop at the messenger at the expense of forfeiting the message. We know all about the messenger and everything else, how long the nails were and controversy about him and everything else, whether he died up on the cross or how he died. All that, man, that's all about the messenger. You need to find out more the message of the messenger. And when you discover that, he says it's like a treasure that's hid in the field. And when you discover that, you'll do just like old Paul did, boy. Paul went and sold all his seminary degrees and doctorate degrees and everything else and all his learning in the seminars and the seminaries and in the Sanhedrin Council and the Pharisees. He called all that as dumb, as nothing, that he might know Jesus Christ. Why? Because he didn't have no religion. On that road to Damascus, boy, he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He didn't shake no preacher's hand. He shook the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Changed his life. Hey, boy, that's what he's saying to you and I, man. Come, all you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. What's your inheritance? The kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Listen, God sent us on this radio broadcast, man, to administer that to you. At one point, we had our little ministry there, and I'm from Bunker, Louisiana. You know, we started off in Houston, but I moved back home here for work to do something here, and that's be a blessing to my community, especially our children. And we had a ministry there, and during the course of time, through some things that we did, or however it was, however the enemy was, you know, our little building over there that was kind of beat down and destroyed down. And God spoke to our hearts, man, through a dear friend of mine, through our sister, man, and Minister Owens over in the Houston area, and Let's Go High Ministry, and begin to speak into our lives to get us to our next. And we started, man, the restoration of that building. Listen, if you would like to help us in restoring that building, get in touch with us. I promise you, man, God will bless you. You take our number down, 713-870-3776. It's going to come up at the end of this broadcast. But once again, 713-870-3776. Look us up on Facebook on GoFundMe, Kingdom Life Fellowship, Arthur LaValle. and see, man, you know, how you can assist God in helping us restore a place in that community where we can administer this same thing to our community there and to other communities. Listen, we love you with the love of the Lord, man. My wife and I, Gail LaVell, speak the blessing of God.